Father, we thank you for your goodness today, that you lavish your grace upon us, Lord, and to those who will open their hearts to you, Lord God. And you said, to those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank you for your graciousness today, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness today, Lord. Thank you for your abundant mercy today, Lord, for giving us this day, Holy God. And we know the day is coming when, Lord, every knee will bow of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Really a blessed house here. You know, we are the house of God. We are the house of prayer. And as New Horizons, it's just a label. Amen. But I believe in that name because with Jesus, there is a new horizon. It doesn't matter how bad the past has been, how bad you've blown it. I don't know about you, but I've blown it many times in my life. But God never gave up on me. And God is with me still today. He's for me. And Jesus is the one who is waiting at the end of our road. He's the one that's at the finish line, and he's rooting us to come, to follow him to the end. Overcomers are those who have faith in Jesus, amen, who are not trusting in their own ability to overcome the world, but in his power to give them the victory on a daily basis, because this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long haul. And so it's a day-by-day walk in the Spirit. And those who finish well will be rewarded. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day when I see Jesus. How about you? I want to hear one thing from the Lord, and that is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. Hallelujah. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? Many people are pursuing everything that the world has to offer, but they're not paying attention to the most important part of themselves, and that is their soul, because your soul is eternal, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the Bible makes it clear there's two destinations, heaven or hell. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Only through Christ, he is the way. Amen. And so we trust in him. We look to him every day. Hallelujah. And by the way, next week, after the service, is our Thanksgiving feast. So hope you guys can come and be a part of it. And we just have a good time together, you know. I think for the most part, I mean, we love each other here. Would you agree? We have the love of God in us, and we love each other authentically. But you know what? Most of the time, we even like each other. How many of you know there's days that you don't necessarily like people you love, but you still love them, you know? And that doesn't change. Our roots go deeper than just, you know, sometimes the surface things that happen. Once in a while, somebody's going to offend you. Amen. It just happens, right? But a lot of times, you know, we get offended over things that, you know, the person never intended to offend you, right? But you got offended over something. And, you know, God is trying to teach us how to get over ourselves. And don't make it about yourself. All right? It's very easy to pick up an offense. Amen. I mean, sometimes you can be going through the grocery line, you know, and maybe the checker's having a bad day. It has nothing to do with you. All right. But somehow you feel personally violated by their crudeness or their, you know, curtness, whatever. But, you know, we can't allow people, all right, to control our internal temperature. Amen. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts so much so that it doesn't matter if people like me or love me. I'm going to love them because Jesus is flowing out of my life. Amen. How many know that God first loved us before we ever loved him, before we ever did anything for him? He first loved us. He gave Jesus to die for us. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died. Amen. So we need to remember the love that God has for us. And we want to walk in that same kind of love. Amen. When you walk in the love of God, you're not offended. Okay? You walk free of that. Hallelujah. All right. And once in a while, the enemy will get something through. He'll get a dart in there. Just deal with it right away. Pull that thing out and say, no, not receiving that. Amen. Speak to the hand, devil, all right? And just forgive that person immediately, all right? The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, all right? In other words, deal with an offense right away, all right? Don't walk around, you know, and don't get, whatever you do, don't get on Facebook and let everybody know what so-and-so did. That's sometimes just a gossip center, isn't it? Man, if anything, speak well of others, amen? The Bible says speak evil of no man. So we need to clean up our conversation, all right, if we're just not speaking the right things. What we want to do is we want to see people saved, healed, and delivered, amen? And how many know that we live in a world full of broken people, such as you and I, amen? And so hurt people hurt people, all right? So if we get hurt, amen, just forgive. Do yourself a favor, all right, and let that person go. Hallelujah. Don't sweat the small stuff, as someone once said. Don't cry over spilled milk. And a lot of stuff that the enemy uses on us is petty. It's just small stuff. He's just trying to get to you, to get you offended. And if you hold on to an offense long enough, it will turn into bitterness. And then you become a bitter person. I don't know about you, but I don't like hanging around bitter people. And I don't want to be a bitter person. I was a bitter person at one time. I was an angry young man at one time. But God has saved me. And God has delivered me. God has healed me. And it is a work of the Holy Spirit. God is able to transform hearts and lives. I'm an example of that. How many here are an example of that? Amen? You've been changed. Hallelujah. You're not the same. And it wasn't even something you did. It's called grace. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah. So if we have any boasting, let's boast in the Lord. How many know that praise is giving God a boast? Amen. Boasting on God, on what He's done. We're giving Him glory. And a person who is truly grateful will give thanks and praise to God. If somebody gives you a gift and you really appreciate that gift, what do you usually say? Right? If you're thankful, right? And you have some respect for that person, you're going to say, thank you. I appreciate that. And you may even take it a step further and say, you're awesome. Amen. You might give them a praise, okay? How many know the Lord deserves our highest praise? Come on. If you're going to be shouting in a football game, you should be able to shout even louder in the house of God. Amen. Giving God the glory He deserves. Hallelujah. Save your best praise for Jesus. If you're going to lose your voice, lose it for Jesus, all right? You know, this is a day that the Lord has given us. Guys, one of these days, and it could be today, we're going to take our last breath. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what am I doing with the life that I have? And what will remain after I check out? How many would agree with me that's a very important question to ask? Am I making the most of the opportunities that I have? That God has given me a certain window of opportunity to live out His purposes. So we need to seek the Lord to discover who we are in Him. And before that even begins, we must be born again, born of the Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit of God, we become spiritually alert, awakened to things that formerly we were blind to. You cannot see and discern spiritually, all right, what's happening apart from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who God gives to those who obey Him. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. And so without the Holy Spirit, we're only judging things by our human intellect. And how many know our human intellect is insufficient to make proper judgments? I mean, we can do some judgments, amen, in our own intellect, in our own reason. But there are certain things that are hidden that we're not able to see, except that the Holy Spirit will illuminate them and reveal them to us. We're living in a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual world that's very real. And so we need to be alert. We need to be awakened in our spirit. Amen? You can have Jesus in the house, but you can ignore Jesus. Amen? So we want to give the Lord His place in our lives. Because Jesus has been given the name above every name. Above all names. So He said in Matthew 28, remember, in this Great Commission, all authority, exousia, has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Go in His name. Represent Him. Preach the gospel. Amen. Make disciples to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. Somebody say, all things that I have taught you. All things means that we are to look at Jesus as our example of life. Amen? We look at the apostles. How did they live? How did they walk? So be careful of just accepting anything that appears to be spiritual if it doesn't look like Jesus or the apostles. Amen? Somebody say amen. Because there are a lot of counterfeiters. And the enemy is a master of deception. And he impersonates God. He tries to. And if we don't have our eyes opened, we're not able to see it. And many people are being deceived today because they are spiritually blind. And the reason why they're spiritually blind is because they have shut God out when God was trying to illuminate them and get in and have access to them. They have refused the Spirit of God. They have shut Him out. Therefore, they remain in darkness and cannot see clearly. We need to be fully open and receptive to receive from the Lord what He has for us when He's offering it to us. He stands at the door and knock, but He's not going to knock forever. I want to talk about something that I really feel needs to be addressed repetitively, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. And sometimes we get information, but it's not mixed with faith. We have knowledge of God, but it's not mixed with faith. The real question is how much of this am I actually living out? Not how much do I know, but how much of this am I actually living? We want to live in agreement with the revelation of God's truth. And I believe that many of God's people are not aware of their God-given authority that they possess as a child of God. Now they believe in Jesus. They've been saved. They've been baptized in water. Many even baptized with the Holy Spirit. But they are unaware or do not believe that they have authority to command demons in sickness. They love the Lord. They pray. They attend church. They are faithful to the Lord, but do not function in their God-given authority and enforce in their lives what God has already accomplished for them. We must enforce in our lives what God has already accomplished for us, and that is our freedom from the power of sin. Amen? Freedom from the power of the devil. After Israel was delivered, remember, from bondage in Egypt, by the blood of the Lamb, it was a miracle. It was God's salvation. They were led out by Moses. Amen? But Pharaoh, being a sore loser, he's a type of the devil, right? He was defeated and humiliated. And so he decided to send his army to pursue the children of Israel. Right? Remember that? And to destroy them. In Exodus 14:10 it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Well, that's a good idea, don't you think? So their initial response to the threat was what? Cry out to the Lord. All right. So was this a correct response? Yeah, absolutely, right? Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered. Okay? Now, however, the people doubted, this is the problem, that God would rescue them. How do we know that? Because they turned on Moses. And they said to Moses, Exodus 14:11, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Now, just a few, right? A few days prior, they were rejoicing. Now, already, they're complaining. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Now hear it. How many have heard this before? Stand still and what? See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Was that true? In verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. How many know we can get ourselves in trouble with our mouths? How many know that complaining upsets the Lord? Because it means that we're not trusting Him. Okay. Now, how does this apply to me today? We need to remember that the cross of our Lord Jesus was a victory over sin and death. Amen? And that our enemy is already defeated. In Christ, we are delivered from the power of sin and Satan. In fact, that God had delivered Israel out of Egypt should have been sufficient proof of His faithfulness to see them through to the end. We need to remember what the Lord has done in our lives. We need to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. When we're faced with a new trial, a new temptation, we need to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. But in 1 Corinthians 10:5, Paul said, but with most of them, speaking of those in the wilderness, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Well, why wasn't God pleased with them? Well, to sum it up, because of unbelief. They did not believe that God would do what He promised He would do. And that, all right, is a reproach to the Lord. In Hebrews 3:19, we see they could not enter into the land of promise, it's talking of here, because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief is really a willful disobedience. You know what God expects of you, but you refuse to do it. Now, Jesus has already opened the way for us to be free from Satan's power and to live victoriously over the world. And when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth, we're talking about the cosmos, the evil system, all right? The system of satanic opposition. All right? We can live victorious over that in Christ. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. And in Him, we are overcomers. But we have to know who we are in Him and the authority that He has given to us. In Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, past tense, He, Jesus, speaking, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, what? The enemy of our soul and his minions, right? The Egyptians, if you will. All right. So our Lord's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension was a glorious triumph over all the hosts of hell and of Satan. He rose victorious on the third day. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Somebody say now. Today is the day of salvation. We are living in that time where we can be saved, amen, from sin and from Satan, from hell. Jesus paid the price that we deserve to pay so that we could go free. Hallelujah. Free to what? Sin? No. Free to serve. Free to serve the Lord the rest of our time in this body. Amen. Out of gratitude for all that He's done for us. Hallelujah. It is our reasonable service according to Romans 12, 1, right? And 2. So today, God expects us, all right, to move in the authority that He has delegated to us. When He rose again victorious, amen, ascended back into heaven, God has given gifts unto men. God has authorized us. He has sent His Holy Spirit to empower us so that we will then have the authority, amen, to defeat the enemy who will try to resist us in our walk. And so if a person does not know the authority they have, they will continue to be oppressed by the devil. Isn't it interesting that David charged Goliath in the name of his God? And he had faith that God would give him the victory. David didn't sit in the trenches and say, God, take care of the giant. God, take care of the giant. He stepped out in the authority that he had, all right, as a little king, all right, even in training, to defeat that giant that stood in his way. Because he trusted in his God and he knew who he was in Christ. He had a revelation of that. So today we are called to move in that authority that God has given us in Christ. And listen, there's nothing to fear if we are in Christ. Because Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. All right. So the enemy wants to convince you that you can't do what God has told you to do. That you just have to tolerate the devil and his torments. You see, the devil understands those who know who they are in Christ and those who understand the authority they've been given in Christ. He understands that. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when we come to this revelation, we begin to realize more and more who we are in Christ. Amen. Then the devil knows that he can't torment you anymore. He can't beat you around anymore. Why? Because you have the authority over him in Jesus' name. And you take that authority in Jesus' name and you put him in his place. And he's not as dumb as people think. He actually knows those who know their God. But if a person is blind to the truth and they don't know who they are in Christ, even though they may believe in Jesus, they may have been baptized, but if they don't know the authority they have, he can pick on them and torment them. Come on, somebody. Until they finally say, wait a minute, why am I tolerating this in my life? I don't have to anymore. My Lord Jesus, my high priest, amen, my big brother, amen, has overcome him. And he's authorized me in his name to keep him in check. Amen. He's authorized me to enforce in my life what he's already done for me. It is finished. So what did Moses do? He reassured the people. They were complaining. They were unbelieving. But he reminded them that the Lord had delivered them from their enemies in Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Once again, all right? So Moses was telling them to do nothing but wait on the Lord's deliverance. Now, hold on. Because a lot of times we put the period in it right there and we don't go to the next verse. And we can miss something if we take things out of context. Now let's take a look at this. Moses was telling them to what? Stand still. Wait on the Lord's deliverance, right? And this is often the counsel we give ourselves today in the church. Now there are certain battles, all right, that we just cannot overcome, all right? They belong to the Lord. But God authorizes us to enforce in our lives what he has already accomplished for us. And how many know that the demons are subject to you in Jesus' name? How many know that God expects his people to step out in faith in his name and heal the sick? How many know that God has authorized us to represent Him and to speak His word into others? Amen. To proclaim the gospel. And God confirms His word with accompanying signs. So if we're doing what God tells us to do, He will confirm it. The key is hearing the voice of the Lord, knowing the voice of the Lord, and doing what He shows you to do, and saying what He tells you to say. Aligning yourself with Him. Now let's take a look at this, verse 15. But what did the Lord have to say about it in this instance? The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." What was He saying? Quit crying and move forward. Now hear it. What is He saying? You and I are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And we are to obey His instructions. And the Lord authorizes us to use His name to defeat the enemies that are in our lives. We do this by faith in Jesus' name. If you don't have faith in Jesus' name, then you'll never operate in your authority as a child of God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our confidence in our God's ability to do what He said He would do, all right, to back up His word. And so we need to believe, we need to rise up in a level of faith to where whatever the giant is, whatever the obstacle is, amen, in Jesus' name, we know we can defeat that. We believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus said, "Let it be unto you according to your faith," to the level that you want to believe. Listen up. I'm growing in faith. Are you too? God wants to stretch us out of the comfort zone of where we've been, the predictable. What we're used to. God has so much more. We're praying for a greater glory, a greater move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're praying for the harvest in America. Amen. For a great awakening for this nation. Hallelujah. Amen. So often the enemy has got us so preoccupied with our own little world that we're not seeing the big picture. And we need to align ourselves with God and say, "God, what are you saying? What are you doing? I'm just going to partner with you in that. It's not about me." Hallelujah. But I get to be a part. Now remember, the Lord had already promised them the land that was flowing with milk and honey. So the Lord wants us to trust Him. But faith requires an action. Come on. Faith without works, you know it. James 2:18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Well, show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works." And sometimes the action we're called to is simply prayer mixed with faith. There are times when we need to just stand in the gap and intercede. Amen. But there are other times when we need to move out and we need to do something that God has showed us to do, an instruction from the Lord. Come on, somebody. And that's true faith, when you're willing to deny yourself to obey the Lord. Even when it goes counter to what you naturally feel you're capable of. Because often, if it's more than you are, it's got to be God. He's a supernatural God. Amen? We're not. We're natural, but He's supernatural. But God wants to work His supernatural through the natural. You and I. To bear witness to the resurrection that Jesus is Lord of all. Amen? He's Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. But there's other times that we need to actually speak to the mountains. We need to speak to the giants that we face. The Lord commanded demons to come out in Jesus. Amen? So, we need to obey the instructions of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 11:23, how many know this one very well? "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's what Jesus said. That's our authority. I don't want to get caught up in the camp that wants to theologically explain everything that Jesus plainly told us. You see, unless you become a child, you'll never enter the kingdom. Unless you become like a child in your faith and just simply God said, I believe it, that settles it. My God wouldn't lie to me. God wants us to grow in that kind of childlike faith, that simple faith that God will do. And Jesus said in Luke 11:20, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. What does he mean by the finger of God? Well, we know he's talking about the Spirit of God in Matthew 12:28. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was doing the work of the Father through Jesus, the Son, of proclaiming the kingdom, casting out demons, and healing the sick. So who are we today? We are called, amen, to partner with God as ambassadors, as representatives of him in this world, come on, to proclaim the kingdom. Hallelujah. To heal the sick, to cast out demons in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Freely we have received, now freely give. It's not enough just to receive the grace of God. We don't want to receive it in vain. But when we receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's so that we might be empowered to do the work of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So we're called to move in our God-given authority. Through the new birth, we've been given delegated authority on earth from the Lord. That means the Lord has given us a measure of authority. I want to say it that way. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How many know this very well? That word power is not the same one we read about in Acts 1:8. He's talking about miraculous power there. Here he's talking about exousia. He's talking about an authority as a son, as a daughter, in the kingdom, all right? We can represent our Father because we've been authorized to do so in Jesus' name. So we first receive authority as sons. And many Christians understand, okay, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I believe that. But then they don't understand that there's also an endowment with power from on high. It's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit that he told his disciples, the ones that had been with him, that had been anointed, that had been doing miracles. But he said, wait until the promise of the Father, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost was fully come, amen. That's when they were immersed in the Holy Spirit, amen. They were filled, hallelujah, with the fire of God. And they began to turn their world around. Today, God calls us to partnership with him in his mission. Hallelujah. So this baptism is in Acts 1:8. It shall receive dunamis, power, different word, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and what? To the uttermost parts of the earth. He's saying, from right where you're at and outward. All right? All right. Now, let me say this, because this has been something that I have observed quite a bit recently, especially. I believe the reason this teaching, okay, on the power of the Holy Spirit receives so much opposition and criticism is because the devil is threatened by God's power at work in the life of the believer. So he doesn't want people to know who they are, the authority they have, and the power that's available to them in the Holy Spirit. So the devil is not threatened by a powerless church. All right? He's not threatened by an unbelieving church. But he is threatened by those who know their God, who know the authority they have, amen, and the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. He's threatened by that, so he's going to try to discredit this message as much as possible. Even to the degree that there are those cessationists who are teaching, amen, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. What a shame. God gives us gifts, and these people are teaching that they're not for us today. I don't know. My experience tells me totally different. Amen? Let me just see a show of hands today. How many have actually been healed by the Lord in your life? Look at this. Look around the room. How many have been healed by the power of God in this house? Look at this. Is God not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is Jesus not alive? Amen and well. Hallelujah. He's reigning from heaven. He has authorized His people to go in His name. Amen. He's still healing the sick. He's still driving out demons. Amen. He's still restoring hearts and lives. Amen. He's fixing broken people. God wants people to be well. He wants people to be whole. Now, I know sometimes sickness is a means that gets us our attention, doesn't it? I'm just going to say it. Sometimes we need a little spanking to get our attention. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, of course there are going to be abuses whenever people are involved in the work of the Lord. Amen? People are going to make mistakes. People are going to act out of immaturity. Come on. It doesn't mean they're a false prophet because they got it wrong once. Come on. But we need to know the source. We need to be able to discern what spirit they're actually operating in. So God gives the gift of discernment of spirits. You should ask for it, pray for it. So you can read, amen, what's going on below the surface and not judge everything by what you see and hear. Amen. There's going to be abuses to this. Amen. And we don't put people on a guilt trip if they didn't get healed. It's because they didn't have enough faith. Well, what about your faith? Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes it's yes, right away. Boom, God answers the prayer. How many love it when God does it right away? Other times, and we have some witnesses in here this morning that have waited 20, sometimes plus years for an answer to prayer. Amen. But God did answer the prayer, and God confirmed even a prophetic word they received so many years ago that some of them had kind of lost track of and forgotten all about and said, oh, and but when it comes to pass, and he said, oh, remember that prophet years ago had spoken that over me. And boy, if it didn't happen in the next 30 minutes, he's got to be a false prophet. Come on, somebody. We got to judge everything by the Spirit and the Word. Amen? We don't want to be sloppy about this, but we need to be discerning. But whenever you get people together, there are going to be some abuses. There are going to be some people that are acting, you know, maybe inappropriate or not, maybe not even understanding how to function as a body. And so what do? We have patience and we teach people. Amen? We can redirect people. But we don't take them out at the knees. Amen? Unless, of course, we know they're operating in a different spirit, and then that's a whole different matter, isn't it? So we don't give audience to devils, all right? I hate listening to demons speak. How about you? And I can usually tell when a demon's speaking through somebody because I'll get this sick feeling in my stomach like I'm being vomited on, even if they're saying Scripture. It's like that spirit is not of God. So in some church circles, listen, there's no liberty for the demonstration of the Spirit and of power of God, for fear that certain people in the congregation would be offended. Let me talk to this a little bit. People quench or shut off the flow of the Spirit because, well, brother so-and-so would get offended. And brother so-and-so is a big tither here, so we don't want to offend him. How about trusting God? How about letting the Lord be Lord over the house and obeying His voice? Listen, I'm more concerned about offending God than offending people. How many here can say amen to that? We need to be more concerned about offending the Holy Spirit than offending man, who would want to control you anyways, and the enemy will use people like that to shut you down and shut you up. And if God tells you to speak, then speak it faithfully. But it's always in order. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. When the Lord speaks, it's life-giving. Even if it's corrective, it's life-giving. We're not to deny the power of God as some do in 2 Timothy 3:5. They deny it. They have a form of godliness, but they don't have any power. And they don't believe it, or they don't accept it. They deny it. Or, again, we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by failing to obey Him or doing things that are contrary to the will of God. So the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 14:16, Moses, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. What does a rod represent? Come on. The authority. All right. It represents authority as a king's scepter. All right. God was telling Moses to start exercising the authority he had already given him. It was already in his hand. Do you understand? Many Christians have authority as sons and daughters, but they don't know it. So they don't exercise it. Or they don't believe. If we're going to be effective for the Lord, we've got to grow, amen, in our knowledge and in the grace of the Lord. We need to stretch out in our faith and start to believe that God will do what he said he would do here to bear witness to the resurrection. How many know that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil? Jesus cast out demons, amen? And he authorized us to go in his name and do likewise. And there are also those people today, even in the church, quote unquote Christians, right? That are saying, oh no, that's not for today. We just have to fill them full of dope. We'll just dope them up and stick them in an institution somewhere. Sometimes people, medication can be a useful tool, amen? But if it's demonic, amen, and that person is in a place where they want deliverance, then we should be, amen, taking authority in Jesus' name, because that man, Jesus has already conquered the enemy. Has Jesus not already conquered the enemy? Amen. Yes, he's overcome the world. Hallelujah. So how many would agree with me today, there's room for growth in my life? There's room for me to stretch in my faith maybe, huh? Come on, if you have that attitude, then you'll grow. But if you think that you know it all, or you've arrived, or I'm good right where I'm at, well, that's where you'll remain. And unfortunately, too many people are remaining where they've been for years and years and years, and they're twice dead. Come on, somebody. They need God to get the paddles upon them, amen, and resuscitate them and bring them back to life again. Hallelujah. And say, you know what? This is a new day. Thank God for what he did in the past, but what is he doing today? I want to join with him today and do what he's doing today. Hallelujah. God wants to move among us, and he is moving, but we must move with him. We must partner with him. Sometimes we're just sitting around waiting for God to do something when he's telling us to do something. Tell them to quit crying and pass over, cross over. Here's an example. Maybe some believers today would likely say, Lord, you divide the Red Sea. If I do, the people would think I did it, and it would rob you of your glory. So I will step back and let you do it in your time. Now, often behind that statement is a spirit of fear. Because when God calls you to do something, again, it's usually something beyond what you would naturally feel comfortable doing. And so you have to overcome that spirit of fear that would try to stand in your way between what God has called you to do and where you're at. God wants us to move forward, but if we allow the spirit of fear, all right, to stand between us and our destiny, then he will effectively shut off the flow of God's spirit in your life, and he can abort God's plans for your life. Did you know that you can miss the will of God because of fear? Somebody say amen. So we need to know who we are in him and who he is in us. And greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Self-control. So in the areas where he has given us authority, we're not to fear or to doubt. How many know that you'll never see a miracle playing it safe? Again, you can miss your calling playing it safe. A typical believer is to move in the supernatural. Not in the sensational, but in the supernatural. We are supernatural beings in the Lord. And the supernatural Lord, amen, of heaven has come down in his spirit to dwell within our hearts. Amen. And the Holy Spirit wants to work through our lives to extend, to advance the kingdom of our God and to destroy the works of the devil. But we've got to rise up and we've got to call on the name of the Lord. And we need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we need to step out in faith in the authority that God has given us. When He gives you an instruction, obey Him. And I have found that when God has given me a word of knowledge, He has made something clear to me, that every time I step out in agreement with that word of knowledge, there is a miracle, there's a healing, there's a change. Every time. So we need to be in a place where we are hearing the voice of the Lord. Amen. We are in communion with Him. We are growing in our relationship with Him. We are growing in the strength of the Lord. Amen. By being empowered by His Spirit on a daily basis. Come on. And then step out in faith when the Lord is prompting you. Sometimes God is putting people in your path that He wants you to simply stretch out your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Start practicing. Start doing it. Do it in the store, wherever you find yourself. Amen. God will use you if you'll obey Him. And He'll give more to those who will obey Him. How many want more? Then just be faithful, amen, with what we have. And God will give you more. So the church, we've got to stop waiting around for God to do what He has already told us to do. He said, go in My name, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. See, we're not to pray and ask God to move the mountain. We are to say to the mountain, get out of My way. Jesus said that. You see, this is the thing. And back to where I started with this. Many people do not understand the authority they have. Therefore, they're always asking God to do something that He has authorized them to do in His name. Are you hearing this? Do you see that? It's scriptural. All right? Now, each one of us have a different calling, a different responsibility, and we are responsible to the Lord for what we're doing with what He has invested in us. It's called His grace. And the gifts of God, amen, are without repentance. God decides, I want you to have this gift, and you get that one, amen? And God said that we should also pray for the gifts. We should desire earnestly the gifts, amen, especially that we may prophesy. But God wants His church to rise up in its authority, amen, because there are many people that need Jesus, they need salvation, they need healing, and they need deliverance. And that's what we're called to. And maybe you hear it and you say, wow, I've just never heard it quite like that, or I've never heard that before. Well, listen, God will use any one of us because He's looking for, not for golden vessels, as someone once said, but yielded vessels. He's looking for somebody to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll be a vessel for You. You know, those least likelies to succeed sometimes. He says, you're perfect for the job. I'll empower you with My Spirit and I'll let you loose in this world. And people will say, like they'd said about Jesus, as He grew up in Blue Collar home and as a carpenter, He said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Listen to what he's saying. Look at the things he's doing. Yeah. Because God is saying, listen, I will use you. Amen. To be a partner with Me in My mission. And one day we'll all rejoice together around the throne of God because we've been faithful stewards over what He's entrusted to us. Hallelujah. So I say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Open your heart. Start giving God praise because God will inhabit the place of praise. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You've got to open your mouth and start giving God praise. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. If you want to stay shut down, you're going to stay blind. God is giving us a little sight here. He's giving us a little glimpse into what He wants to do. Because there's so much more that we have not tapped into yet, that we have not moved in yet. Because He is an almighty God, amen? And He is capable of anything. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, Jesus said. I just recently talked with a friend who I'm thinking about inviting out to do some meetings here, who had a great move of God in Pakistan. And I'm talking about mind-blowing move of God, demonstrations of power, angels appearing in, as men, hallelujah, surrounding the place where they're at, hallelujah. Just our God is an awesome God. Let's not limit Him by our unbelief, but let's be believing and let's be growing in grace, amen, and in the knowledge of our Lord, and understand who you are. As a child, you have been given access to the throne of your Father. You can come in the door. Hallelujah. You don't have to stand outside the door and knock and beg and, can I come in? It's like, come on in, son. I've taken care, amen, of the sin problem. You're welcome anytime. We come boldly to the throne of grace, confidently to the throne of grace now. And we quit listening to the lies of the enemy that says, oh, God's not going to ever hear you. God wants you to speak to Him. He wants to hear from you and He wants you to hear from Him. Because He's not a respecter of persons. Has not God chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? Now is not a time for complacency, I finish, and fear. It's a time to move forward in the Lord and to grow deeper in our faith. It's time to be empowered by His Spirit and be equipped for every good word and work, because the coming of the Lord draws near. Jesus is coming. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found about our Father's business as He's gone away. Amen. And He's left His deposit in us and says, now go and trade with your gift. Do something with it. Bring an increase. Because He deserves it. Because He paid for it in blood. He paid for people. Amen. He paid for us in blood. Jesus deserves our life back to Him as an offering of gratitude. Offer your body to Him. Hallelujah. It's decision time. If you're not born again, you need to surrender your life to Jesus right now. You need to be born again. You need to open the door and let Him in. I want to ask everyone if you would join with me. I want to lead us all in a prayer, openly and together and out loud. It's going to be a prayer of commitment to the Lord. If you want Jesus in your life, if you want to be saved, and if you want to be the person that He's calling you to be, I want you just to join with me as I pray this prayer out loud, all right? And it's a prayer saying, Lord, I'm going to commit myself this day to You and to Your will, to discover You, to discover Your will, Your plan for my life, and live out Your purposes in this earth. If you're willing and you're wanting that today, just say, dear Lord Jesus, Your word says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, I ask You to save me, to forgive my sins. I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and You rose again on the third day, and that You sent the Holy Spirit to empower me to be a vessel for You. Lord Jesus, I ask You to make me a vessel for You. Fill me with Your power. Strengthen me with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. Baptize my heart with Your holy fire and make me strong in Your might for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You've given your life to Jesus. If you're not baptized, you need to be baptized in water. Amen. Let us know, and we'll set it up for you. Take some time to visit each other this morning before you head out. Love you. God bless.